And paramount for us to be security conscious. You can listen to us via Simple Radio, Radio Garden and TuneIn, or the Voice of Nigeria app, all available on your preferred app store. You can also share thoughts with us on Twitter. The handle is at Voice of Nigeria. It's the English service of Voice of Nigeria. Time now for Vaughan Scope. It's 8 hours GMT.
Hello and welcome to Vaughan Scope, a half-hour program of news, views, comments and analysis of issues reaching you from Voice of Nigeria. You can listen to this broadcast on www.von.gov.ng. Those who resort to kidnapping children are cowards and incapable of confronting the might of the Nigerian armed forces. Stay tuned to find out who said this and why in the course of the program Vaughan Scope. And on the headlines, Nigerian leader urges classification of kidnappers as terrorists. ECOWAS EU declares Senegal's presidential election as peaceful. Indonesia's opposition candidate urges court to disqualify president-elect. Details of these and more will be coming up, including economic and sports news, today in history, and an African proverb in the course of the program. Stay tuned. The program is Vaughan Scope, and my name is Chikezie Ibe. As usual on the program, we begin with the news bulletin, starting with the presidency, where the Nigerian leader, President Bola Tinubu, says that individuals involved in the act of kidnapping across the country must be treated as terrorists. President Tinubu made the declaration at a Ramadan dinner with members of the federal judiciary, led by the Chief Justice of Nigeria, Justice Olukayode Ariwoola. The president also condemned the deplorable acts perpetrated by the criminal gangs of abductors, describing them as cowards that have been degraded. Reiterating the government's resolve to defeat banditry, the president said those who resort to kidnapping are incapable of confronting the might of the Nigerian armed forces. Still on security matters, the Joint Task Force commanders have been charged to ensure lasting peace and stability in Nigeria while using an integrated approach in addressing security challenges in the landscape. The Minister of State for Defence, Bello Matawalle, stated this during the Chief of Defence Staff's Joint Task Force Commanders Conference 2024 in Abuja, Nigeria's capital, with the theme Consolidating Operational Successes Across All Theatres of Operations. Acknowledging the pivotal role of local communities in the fight against insurgency and criminality, Matawalle underscored the need for establishing trust and cooperation with the civilian population. Nigeria is seeking collaboration with the Swedish government in the areas of using technology to improve education in the country, especially early child education. Nigeria's Education Minister, Professor Tahir Mamman, made the request when the Swedish ambassador to Nigeria, Annika Englund, paid a courtesy visit to him in his office in Abuja, the nation's capital. The minister suggested a memorandum of understanding that would enhance the proper channeling of cooperation and other activities between both countries. The observation missions deployed to Senegal by the European Union and the West African Regional Bloc have praised the smooth running of the presidential election won by Bassirou Faye after 3 years of unrest. Around 7.3 million Senegalese were eligible to take part in Sunday's vote, which saw 44-year-old Faye elected as the youngest president in the country's history after his main rival and government candidate, Amadou Ba, conceded defeat. A representative of the Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS, Ibrahim Gambari, at a press conference in Dakar, said voting generally went smoothly in a largely peaceful atmosphere. Similarly, the head of the EU mission, Malin Jock, praised the well-organized and open election that demonstrated the strength of Senegal's democratic institutions. And finally, on the news bulletin, still on election matters, Indonesia's losing presidential candidate, Anies Baswedan, has told a court that the poll was unjust and marred with interference, and as such, urging a rerun and disqualification of the winner, Prabowo Subianto. Defense Minister Prabowo Subianto emerged as the winner in the February 14 election with 60% of the votes, while Anies came second with 25% of the votes. Anies, a former governor of Jakarta and education minister, alleged that there was pressure from the administration on regional authorities and mobilization of social aid was a transitional tool used to ensure the outcome. And that's it on the news bulletin. Welcome back. If you just joined us, the program is Von Scope, reaching you from Voice of Nigeria. President Bola Tinubu has reiterated the Nigerian government's resolve to defeat banditry, saying those who resort to kidnapping children are cowards and incapable of confronting the might of the Nigerian armed forces. The president asserted this at a Ramadan dinner with members of the federal judiciary led by the Chief Justice of Nigeria, Justice Olukayode Ariwoola. Voice of Nigeria State House correspondent Temitope Mustafa reports that the president also expressed appreciation to the judiciary for their dedication to service of the nation, acknowledging their role in upholding the respectability of the judicial arm of government. Her report.
President Bola Ahmed Tinubu used the occasion of his sixth dinner break-in of Ramadan program to further condemn the despicable act of kidnappers across the country. The president said only when the criminal gangs or bandits are treated like terrorists, that is when Nigeria would decisively deal with the criminal activities of the abductors.
That is a fact that we are facing currently, unless we take very strong action against those people. They become cowardly, they look for soft targets, they go to backyard of local tools, kidnap children and create disaffection. We must treat them equally as terrorists.
Speaking on the review of salaries of judicial officers, President Tinubu pledged that his administration would continue to implement necessary reforms to improve the welfare and working conditions of judicial officers in Nigeria. The Nigerian leader expressed gratitude to the judiciary for their dedicated service to the nation. He acknowledged their role in upholding the respectability of the judicial arm of government.
It is good that we share together. But fairness is part of your principle, philosophy, and fairness is part of what you put together, even in the practice of your own profession. Thank you for serving Nigeria.
Speaking on behalf of the top-class Nigerian judicial officers, the Chief Justice of Nigeria, Justice Kayode Ariwoola, commended the administration for achieving a significant milestone by appointing a full complement of 21 justices to the Supreme Court, a feat he described as unprecedented.
Your administration now has the full complement of the Supreme Court. Thank you very much on behalf of my lords.
The sixth dinner breaking of Ramadan fast of the president was equally attended by serving and retired judicial officers, including two former chief justices of Nigeria, Justice Mahmoud Mohamed and Justice Walter Onagen. For Voice of Nigeria, Temitope Mustafa reporting.
Thank you, Temitope. Still on security, the lawmaker representing Southern Ijaw Federation Federal constituency of Bayelsa State, Honorable Rodney Ambayi Oweyi, lent his voice to condemn the cold-blooded murder of military personnel at Okwama Ueli South Local Government Area of Delta State in southern Nigeria on March 14, 2024. Honorable Ambayi Oweyi, while briefing the media in Abuja, noted that the gruesome event was one of the worst things to have happened in our gallant soldiers in Nigerian history. The lawmaker also condemned the invasion of one of the once serene community by men said to be of the military in search of the perpetrators of the heinous crime at Okwama, where the aftermath of the invasion was the destruction and killing of some innocent and peace-loving citizens of Igbo Motoru community. Honorable Ambayi Oweyi called on the people of Igbo Motoru community and the entire southern Ijaw federal constituency to be vigilant and report any strange movements in their various communities to the nearest law enforcement agency.
On the 14th March 2024, a great national tragedy. It has become imperative and compelling to lend my voice in condemning an event which is uncalled for, an avoidable loss of lives of Nigerians on the side of the Nigerian military and the communities affected in Ugeli South and Southern Ijaw Federal Constituency. There is no gainsaying that the gruesome and unprovoked murder of 16 officers and men of the Nigerian Army, consisting of a lieutenant colonel, two majors, a captain, and 12 other men of the military by criminals in Okwama community, Ugele South Local Government Area of Delta State, is one of the worst things to have happened to our gallant soldiers in recent history. Let me at this point condole with the President and Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces of the Federal Republic of Nigeria, His Excellency Senator Bola Ahmed Tinubu, the Nigerian Armed Forces, the families of these fallen heroes, and the good people of Nigeria.
That was the lawmaker representing Southern Ijaw Federal Constituency of Bayelsa State, Honorable Rodney Ambayi Oweyi, there. Now, away from security matters, the National Hajj Commission of Nigeria, NACAN, has cleared the air on the recent increment of the 2024 Hajj fare. NACAN and its Assistant Director of Public Affairs, Hajia Fatima Usara, in an interview with Voice of Nigeria's religious affairs correspondent Fatima Hassan, explained that the reason behind the huge increase was due to the exchange rate between the dollar and the naira.
Initially, when the Hajj fare was announced, that was the 4.7 million. The dollar rate was around 890. Later on, when there was this floating of the naira, the naira became almost 1,500 and thereabout. That's why the obviously the Hajj fare had to increase as well. But most recently, that's around last week, the naira actually appreciated, and we happened to be lucky because the expected high rate, well, it would have been higher than this, but for last week's appreciation of the naira, so it stopped at around 6 million. Actually, it's the dollar.
But people are complaining that the announcement came late. The amount is very huge, and the deadline is very short. So is there any possibility of the commission extending the deadline?
Not really, because already Nigeria is behind schedule in the Hajj arrangements. Every participating country is supposed to end entering of contract with the Saudi service providers by last month, that's February 25th. Already we are in March, towards ending of March. So we have little time. We even have this grace because the commission sought for an extension from the Ministry of Hajj and Umrah.
That was the Assistant Director of Public Affairs of the National Hajj Commission of Nigeria, Hajia Fatima Usara, there. Moving on to food security, the Governor of Borno State, Northeast Nigeria, Professor Babagana Zulum, has applauded President Bola Tinubu's support for South Chad Irrigation Project, noting that it will boost food security in the country. The governor made this known while speaking to State House correspondents shortly after meeting with President Tinubu at the presidential villa in Abuja, Nigeria's capital. Confirming relative peace in the state, Governor Zulum emphasized the need for the government to reestablish the South Chad Irrigation Project.
We are having relative peace in Borno State. There is a need for government to ensure re-establishment of South Chad Irrigation Project. South Chad Irrigation Project has tremendous potentials to provide, to produce food to cater for the needs of the entire northern Nigeria, or I can say even the entire country. But as a result of insecurity in the region, the irrigation scheme is not functioning very well for the last decade or more than a decade.
The governor also explained that he has discussed the re-establishment of the Yauri Irrigation Scheme in Borno State to further ensure food security, both in terms of quantity and quality. Speaking on the need to improve on the security of the Lake Chad Basin, Zulum disclosed that President Bola Tinubu has assured him of the possibility of setting up a security outfit on the Lake Chad.
The president will look into the possibility of establishing a very strong security outfit in the Lake Chad region so that people shall have access to the agricultural lands. Again, we spoke about re-establishing the Yau irrigation scheme in northern Nigeria, northern Borno State. So I think these informations are very important since the country is looking forward to ensuring food security, both in terms of quantity and quality.
Zulum added that he received the support of the president to resume the repatriation of Nigerians living in the Republic of Chad, Niger, and Cameroon.
The repatriation of Nigerians that are living in the Republic of Chad, Niger, and Cameroon. We have started repatriating them during the last administration, but because of the election period and rainy season, we stopped the repatriation exercise. Again, Mr. President has given me his commitment that the government of Nigeria will resume the repatriation exercise very soon.
That was the Borno State Governor, Professor Babagana Zulum, speaking there. Governor Muhammadu Yahaya of Gombe State has launched the Ramadan Lent Palliative Food Distribution Program for the vulnerable groups in the state. The governor said that the palliative was another round of food distribution which targeted 114,500 beneficiaries. Voice of Nigeria's Northeast correspondent Rebecca Muazu reports that Governor Yahaya said that the gesture is to provide sustenance and ensure that the people observe their fast with dignity and gratitude in accordance with the teaching of Islam.
The items distributed are rice, maize, pasta, and sugar, which, according to Governor Muhammadu Inua Yahaya, is targeting the vulnerable during the Ramadan and Lent fast. According to Governor Yahaya, the distribution demonstrates his administration's commitment to helping the people during difficult times. Enumerating the steps taken are rice, maize, pasta, and sugar, which, according to Governor Muhammadu Inua Yahaya, is targeting the vulnerable during the Ramadan and Lent fast. According to Governor Yahaya, the distribution demonstrates his administration's commitment to helping the people during difficult times. Enumerating the steps taken are rice, maize, pasta, and sugar, which, according to Governor Muhammadu Inua Yahaya, is targeting the vulnerable during the Ramadan and Lent fast. According to Governor Yahaya, the distribution demonstrates his administration's commitment to helping the people during difficult times. Enumerating the steps taken by the committee to ensure that the food items reach the intended beneficiaries and warned against acts of sabotage, adding that such acts will not be condoned. For Voice of Nigeria, this is Rebecca Moazu reporting from Gombe, Northeast Nigeria.
You're listening to Von Scope, our news magazine from Voice of Nigeria. And for more on economic news, here is Florence Adidi.
The Monetary Policy Committee, MPC, of the Central Bank of Nigeria, CBN, has hiked the benchmark interest rate by 200 basis points to 24.75%. This is according to a communique by the Central Bank of Nigeria Governor Yemi Kadosu after the second MPC meeting of its tenure in Abuja. The new interest rate is a jump from the 22.75% announced by the MPC about a month ago and the second hike by the current committee. The Nigerian government says it has received the sum of 15 billion yuan from the Japanese International Cooperation Agency to support the nation's National Agricultural Scheme project. The Minister of Finance and Coordinating Minister of the Economy, Wale Edun, made this known after the council meeting presided over by President Bola Tinubu at the State House, Abuja. Mr. Edun disclosed that the support is for 3 months and will be on 30 years moratorium with a 10 years percent interest rate. He added that the provision is on a bilateral support that will not place any form of strain on Nigeria financially. The Federal Executive Council in Nigeria has approved the setting up of the Renewed Hope Infrastructure Development Fund to be domiciled in the presidency with the aim of bridging about $878 billion infrastructural deficits confronting the nation. Briefing State House correspondents after the council meeting, the Minister of Finance, Mr. Wale Edu, disclosed that he informed the council meeting of President Tinubu's approval of a request to set up an economic management task team force that will implement major measures aimed at growing the Nigerian economy, increase production and create jobs that will also reduce poverty.
Mr. President's approval of a request to set up an economic management team task force to, over the next 6 months, implement major measures aimed at growing the economy.
Also briefing, the Minister of Youth, Jamila Ibrahim, said the council gave an additional approval of 60 billion naira to give support to young people's businesses. And that ends the economic news. Thank you for listening. My name is Florence Adidi.
Thank you, Florence. And on sports, the Super Eagles of Nigeria on Tuesday fell to a 2-0 defeat against the Eagles of Mali in an international friendly in Marrakesh, Morocco. A goal in each half from Toure and Doumbia gave Mali its first win over Nigeria since 1975. The loss is coach Finidi George's first loss as the interim coach of the Super Eagles after a 2-1 win against Ghana on Friday. Up next for the Eagles is the 2026 FIFA World Cup qualifiers against South Africa in June. And for the rest of sports news, here is Jude Kankara.
The Minister for Sports Development, Senator John Owa Eno, has lauded the performance of Team Nigeria at the just concluded 13th All-Africa Games held in Accra, Ghana, where Nigeria came overall second best with an impressive medal haul of 121 medals comprising 47 gold, 33 silver and 41 bronze medals. He made this known in a parley with the press at the media center of the Moshood Abiola Stadium, Abuja, where he gave a breakdown of achievements, programs and projections of the ministry. The minister revealed that the secret of this impressive performance was due to the establishment of a high-performance center in Port Harcourt that left athletes in peak form to perform at the games. He also noted that in this new era of financial prudence, accountability and transparency, the ministry, working closely with the CBN, has ensured timely and direct payment of games and camp allowance to athletes, which has led to the end of the era of athletes being shortchanged. He also shed light on the ministry's implementation of revolutionary policies to accelerate sports development in the country, including welfare to sportsmen, active and retired, funding and infrastructural development, and grassroots sports development through the revitalization of school sports and positioning sports as a business to serve as a means of livelihood for athletes as revenue for government. 9 Nigerian powerlifters have secured their places for the Paris 2024 Paralympic Games in France after they all won medals at the ongoing Para Powerlifting World Cup in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt. The lifters won 7 gold, 1 silver and 1 bronze medals to exert their dominance in the world stage at the competition, which began on Wednesday, March 20 and ended on Monday, March 25. 2 gold medals were won on Wednesday, and on Thursday, 2 other para athletes doubled the tally, while on Saturday, 3 more gold medals were added to the pile. No gold medals were won after that, with Lucy Ejike and Lovelyn Obiji adding 1 silver and 1 bronze, respectively. All 9 medalists qualify for the Paralympic Games in Paris, France, later this year. And that's it on Sports News. My name is Jude Kankara.
Out of the world of sports and into the world of history, it's now time to take a look at what happened on this day in history.
Hello and welcome to Today in History for 27th March. On this day in 1993, Jiang Zemin was appointed President of the People's Republic of China. And on this day in 2014, Philippines signed a peace accord with the largest Muslim rebel group, the Moro Islamic Liberation Front, ending decades of conflict. Still on this day in 2015, Al-Shabaab militants attacked and temporarily occupied a Mogadishu hotel, leaving at least 20 people dead. And finally on this day in 2020, North Macedonia became the 30th member of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO. Those were some events that happened on this day in history. I am Margaret Ibishi.
Let's now join Margaret Ibishi again for the weather forecast.
This is the weather forecast across Africa for Wednesday, 27th March 2024. Nigerian Meteorological Agency, NIMET, predicts morning thunderstorms to Cross River and Akwa Ibom State, while other parts of the south will have sunny intervals. Later in the day, better chances of thunderstorms are expected to the stretch of the coast, extending to Oyo, Ondo, Imo, Abia, and Edo State. While the north will be sunny and hazy with high daytime temperatures. General temperatures will range from 33 to 42 degrees Celsius across the country. Across Africa, Accra, Ghana in West Africa will be sunny with a temperature of about 34 degrees Celsius. Nairobi, Kenya in East Africa will have thunder showers with a temperature of about 26 degrees Celsius. Laayoune, Western Sahara in North Africa will have sunny intervals with a temperature of about 23 degrees Celsius. Libreville, Gabon in Central Africa will have thundery showers with a temperature of about 31 degrees Celsius. While Pretoria, South Africa in Southern Africa will be sunny with a temperature of about 28 degrees Celsius. That's today's weather forecast across selected cities in Africa. Remember the effects of climate change and do your part to promote green energy. I am Margaret Ibishi.
And our African proverb for today says, when a man is coming towards you, you need not say, come here. Meaning, when things are already working out on their own, there would be no point trying to fuss it in order to prove a point. While you ponder on that, a quick recap of the main points. Would he tell you that the Nigerian leader, President Bola Tinubu, says the individuals involved in acts of kidnapping across the country must be treated as terrorists? We also told you that the observation missions deployed to Senegal by the European Union and West Africa's regional bloc have praised the smooth running of the presidential election won by Bassirou Faye after 3 years of unrest. And lastly, Indonesia's losing presidential candidate Anies Baswedan has told a court that the poll was unjust and mad with interference, and as such, urging a rerun and disqualification of the winner, Prabowo Subianto. Dear listeners, with those main points, that we've come to the end of this edition of Van Scope. You can listen to Voice of Nigeria on Dan has told a court that the poll was unjust and mad with interference, and as such, urging a rerun and disqualification of the winner, Prabowo Subianto. Dear listeners, with those main points, that we've come to the end of this edition of Van Scope. You can listen to Voice of Nigeria on www.von.gov.ng. You can also send your comments, observations to englishvon@yahoo.com or vonigeria880@gmail.com. The program was produced by Enne Okwanihe, and my name is Chikezie Ibe. Thanking you so much for staying tuned. Goodbye.
Rhythm of Love from Nigeria, the country that defines the future of Africa. Voice of Nigeria, your authoritative choice.
Stop. Stop the proliferation of illicit arms. The proliferation of illicit small arms and light weapons has led to the untimely death of innocent citizens. This is not healthy for our growth and socio-economic development. The proliferation of illicit arms is having devastating effect in our land and has been plaguing our dear country, Nigeria. It is estimated there are over 6 million illicit arms in circulation in Nigeria. This huge number and overflow of weapons in the country have needlessly contributed to the very high levels of armed crimes, banditry, insurgency, terrorism, and political thuggery, thereby making the citizenry, including you, insecure. Nigeria is a great country. It belongs to you and me. We must work together to rid Nigeria of illicit small arms and light weapons. Stop gun running. Stop stockpiling. Stop selling your security and well-being for cheap. If you know anyone or group of persons involved in smuggling of small arms and light weapons or still stockpiling illicit arms, please report to the security agency nearest to you. The government is determined. Support the government so that we can live in a safe and secure environment. This message is brought to you by the National Center for the Control of Small Arms and Light Weapons.
Pig farming or piggery is the raising and breeding of domestic pigs as livestock. They are reared principally for food. Examples are ham, bacon and sausage and more. Hello and welcome to this edition of Talking Agriculture, reaching you from Voice of Nigeria. It's a program that looks at different agricultural practices in Nigeria and other parts of Africa. Today we shall be looking at pig farming in Nigeria. Do stay tuned. I am Danielle Bemsa. Well, according to statistics, Nigeria ranks among the top pork-producing countries in Africa. In 2019, 298,000 metric tons of pork were produced. Over the last 10 years, Nigeria's pig industry has grown by 40%, according to figures by the Pig Farmers Association of Nigeria, PFAN. Pig farming, which is also known as piggery, is a lucrative farming practice in Nigeria that can pull cash to your bank account on a daily basis due to the high demand of pork in Nigeria. Apart from being lucrative, pig is one of the easiest animals to rear because its feed is easy to get and it reproduces in large numbers. Ajoke Alao is a pig farmer. She elaborates.
Pig farming is a very lucrative business. It's a kind of business that even the country can rely on because pig is very, very productive. And there are various aspects of pig farming that you can do, like some people do breeding, some do buying and selling, some do fattening. So it depends any aspect your interest like that you do. For me, I do more of buying and selling. People breed, I buy, I rear for some time, I sell for people that will do fattening. That's, I didn't do much of breeding. And it's very good, very lucrative, very successful. I've been in the business for more than 2 years now, and to God be the glory. I choose this business for convenience, for peace of mind, because it's a business I can do. I don't have to be there 24/7, and I can monitor my business even from the comfort of my home. Yes, I have attendant that while I'm not in the farm, I call them what and what is happening. If any of my animal fall sick and I need to be treated, I call on my doctors. They attend to them. If it is the feed, I get people that are bringing the feed to the farm. I can transfer money to their accounts. My carriers will carry the feed into my farm. My attendant will feed them. Once my animals are okay, I don't have any problem.
The Food and Agriculture Control has estimated that the consumption of pork in Africa and by extension Nigeria will grow from its current size at 10.5 metric tons to about 35 million tons by 2050. Pork is tasty, nutritious, and has great global popularity. It's a very good source of protein, some vitamins, and oil. Labanke Makinde, an agriculturist, tells us more about this meat.
So in all of livestock, we use stuff that pig is the best. And it's actually the best because of the way they reproduce. Pork is white meat. And when you get to a certain age in life, you need to be eating pork. Pork works for a lot of things. It heals arthritis. You don't have arthritis. When you are your 50, 60, you do your jumping, you go to places and you'll be fine. Pork is very, very healthy. And we use it for a lot of things. Even for the fact that you don't even eat it, there are ways that pork is coming your way that you are not aware of. So is it not even better for you to be consuming it so that it will nourish your body?
Before starting a pig farm in Nigeria, you must acquire suitable expanse of land. The size or area of the land will depend on the number of pigs. The more pigs you want to rear, the more land you will require. To begin with, you have to divide the land into several plots. This will help you raise different species and ages of pigs separately. There are other points to note when choosing land for pig farming in Nigeria. Adegoke Yusuf, a pig farmer, tells us more.
The first thing you have to do when you want to start a pig farm is you have to make sure you get the right knowledge, because it's very, very important when it comes to pig farming. The next thing you have to do is get good pigs from a good farm. Assume you just want to buy pigs to slaughter. That's a different case. But this is like pigs that you want to use to start your own pig farm. So it doesn't make sense for you to go and get sick pigs. So make sure you get good pigs from a reputable farm and start your own pig farm. Now, the next thing is you have to get your pen construction right. I made this exact same mistake. When I was constructing this pig farm, I wasn't present. So the guy that was constructing it, did what he knows how to do best. And what he knows how to do best is not the right thing. So after constructing the pens and the rest, when I was starting the pig farm, I didn't know that their pens required a rough surface. So the guy plastered it. It was smooth. It was slippery. So when the pigs were gotten, when they were brought in, I discovered that they were falling so much on the floor. I had to break all the floor again, which was like I had to buy cement and plaster the whole floor. So that was expensive. So assuming that I knew this kind of things before, I wouldn't have made that kind of mistake.
After selecting a suitable farmland, it's very important to select proper breeds of piglets. This will greatly help in raising good, healthy pigs. It's also advisable to choose both local and hybrid piglets. Crossbreeding of exotic and local breeds is economically viable. This type of crossbred pigs consume more food, grow faster, and become healthier than others in no time. The breeding process of pigs is easy and simple. The gestation period of pigs is not more than 115 days.
The sow, which is the female pig, gives birth to piglets twice a year and produces more than 10 piglets each time. After delivery, the kids will be fed with breast milk for their first 9 weeks of age. After completing the grower stage of piglets, the sow becomes suitable. After selecting a suitable farmland, it's very important to select proper breeds of piglets. This will greatly help in raising good, healthy pigs. It's also advisable to choose both local and hybrid piglets. Crossbreeding of exotic and local breeds is economically viable. This type of crossbred pigs consume more feed, grow faster, and become healthier than others in no time. The breeding process of pigs is easy and simple. The gestation period of pigs is not more than 115 days. The sow, which is the female pig, gives birth to piglets twice a year and produces more than 10 piglets each time. After delivery, the kids will be fed with breast milk for their first 9 weeks of age. After completing the grower stage of piglets, the sow becomes suitable for mating again. Oluyomi Osho tells us more.
Number one, it has to do with breed, the breed that you get. We have different breeds that are outside now. So we have the local breed, we have the foreign breed. So it's one of the reasons that might likely cause, you know, retardation, I mean stunt growth in your farm. If you go and get pigs that have been crossed, let me say overcrossed, they have crossed it severally before you get to buy it. You know, you cannot buy two pigs, male and female, from the same spot, except they are of different family. And number two, it has to do with the species you buy. We have different kind of species that are outside. See, we still have the local breed. We have the foreign breed, right? So out of it, we still have what we call large white. We have Landrace. We have Duroc. We have Yankashe. It has a lot to do with the kind of species you buy. Number three, it has to do with the kind of male you get. So if you get a male that is not big enough, or that is not quality in nature, there are some physical things you need to check about the male. How active it's going to be. You see the body, how big it is. You see how fresh it is. You know, everything like that will justify if the male will do well once it mates with the female you have in the farm. And number four, that has to do with your feed. Personal hygiene is one of the two. If you are a fan of leaving your pigs in a place that is always littered, always dirty, you are giving them poor water. So you have to take care of them, give them a clean water. You watch their houses and you make sure they are eating well and also living comfortably.
Furthermore, giving your pigs fresh and nutritious food can make your pigs healthier, prevent various diseases and ensure proper growth. Aside nutritious foods, there are other factors to consider in order to raise healthy pigs. Michael Ani, a pig farmer, explains.
So they only use PKC to feed their pig. So, and that is not enough. Although PKC is what pigs eat. So you can actually add PKC with your soya and also add something like GNC or any other stuff to eat to make it a very good feed. This PKC of a thing, PKC has 15% energy and it has some percentage of fat in it. And most of the fat has already been crushed out. It is not 100% complete. If you are giving them that alone, it will not help your pig to grow much well.
Generally, pigs eat both grains and grasses. You can also feed your pigs with cooked table scraps, rice and vegetables. Among all the food elements, corn is the most common food for pigs. Soybeans or cooked meat can also be a great source of protein for pigs. They will grow faster if giving necessary nutritional elements and vitamins and other supplements. Piglets, however, require more protein than mature pigs. You can buy ready-made pig food from the market or make your own mixture. Along with this, pigs require a huge amount of water daily. Pig farming in Nigeria has great business opportunities for the unemployed and for those who want to raise pigs commercially. In order to assist pig farmers in Nigeria,
Pig Farmers Association of Nigeria, PFAN, in collaboration with various organizations, always organize trainings on biosecurity and proper farm management. This is where we conclude this edition of Talking Agriculture. In this edition, we featured pig farming in Nigeria. For comments, write to the producer, Talking Agriculture, Voice of Nigeria, PMB 5089 Wuse Abuja, or Broadcasting House, PMB 40003, Falomo Ikoyi, Lagos, Nigeria. You can reach us through our email address, vonenglishproducers@gmail.com. You can also listen to Voice of Nigeria via the Von Mobile app, Simple Radio, Radio Garden, and the TuneIn app. The program was produced by Fidelia Adinuba. On the audio console was Aliu Hamza, and I'm Danielle Bemsa.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Women and Development, a quarter-hour program dedicated to women to bring their achievements to light. On this edition, we shall be focusing on the importance of investing in women. I am Hannah Sokwa. Stay with us. The Nigerian Army Officers' Wives Association, NAOWA, recently organized a symposium and health walk for women as a way of keeping fit and also to celebrate the 2024 International Women's Day, which took place on the 8th of March, 2024. The month of March every year hosts a lot of events to celebrate women. Some of the events include the International Women's Day, Mother's Day, or Mothering Sunday, as some churches call it, and United Nations CSW 68, etc. The Nigerian Army Officers' Wives Association, NAOWA, organized a symposium to create more awareness on the need for more women inclusion into strategic leadership positions to facilitate the attainment of their full potentials and to also break the gender divide. Maria Abiodun Lagbaja, the national president of NAOWA, she speaks further.
The global campaign team, which is Inspire Inclusion, is a call to action which highlights the need to bridge a gap in creating more prospects and empowerment for women. It emphasizes the importance of creating an environment where women are empowered to take up greater responsibilities beyond their traditional or cultural rules determined by their society. This team and the United Nations Women's Day team, which says, invest in women, accelerate progress, align perfectly with NAOWA's commitment to promote equal opportunities for women. And we are delighted to join women all over the world to call for more inclusion for female gender. As we all know, gender discrimination still exists, and this affects women's access to education, healthcare, economy, leadership opportunities, among others. This lack of inclusion is a major challenge as it prevents many women from reaching their potential goals. We also had a symbolic walk to draw attention to the issue of gender equality and raise awareness about the various issues which affect the inclusion of women in the society.
Celebrating women and their achievements is not a one-day event, but it is a day set aside by the United Nations to also recognize the crucial roles that women play in the development of their families, communities, societies, and the nation in general, and to also searchlight issues affecting women and proffering solutions to them. This will help in bridging the gender gap and inequality suffered by women. Maria Abiodun Lagbaja again.
International Women's Day is more than just a one-day event. It is a global movement which recognizes the crucial role women play in developing the society and highlights the need to address gender gap and work towards creating a world where women have equal opportunities in all aspects of life. International Women's Day also serves as a platform to raise awareness about the issues affecting women globally, including gender-based violence, discrimination, child marriage, and the challenges faced in getting quality education, healthcare, and economic opportunities, among others. The day equally emphasizes the importance of empowering women by supporting initiatives that promote women's rights, provide equal opportunities, and promote an environment where women can thrive personally and professionally.
The world has also witnessed the establishment of diverse women professional and social groups aimed at amplifying the voices of women and girls in our societies. One of such groups is the Defense Police Officers' Wives Association, DEPOWA, who have taken the bold step of advocating for women to participate fully in the development of their societies. All these and more can be achieved if everyone will endeavor to put all hands on deck to achieve the desired positive well-being for all. Lillian Ogogo Musa, president of DEPOWA, elaborates.
The Defense and Police Officers' Wives Association, DEPOWA. This group has led advocacy and has embodied women's participation in the development of societal things, encouraging women to seek for and to excel in broader range of endeavors. This group has equally been acknowledged in their diligent pursuit of their set up objectives. We have come a long way, and our advocacy have inspired professional excellence and positive well-being of women in our community. This feat is not our effort alone, but with support from well-meaning Nigerians and organizations, we stand a better chance to double our achievements if we have all hands on deck in the execution of our program. Thus, we need to consider appealing for more support from the society by inspiring our family members and colleagues to our noble cause.
Investing in women is one of the ways through which nations thrive for development to speed up progress. There's a saying that women are enemies to themselves, but that assertion is not true because women tend to seize every opportunity to form a collective front and carve a niche for themselves so as to help each other. Bilkisu Ibrahim, the National Vice President of NAOWA. She sums it up for us.
We come together and help ourselves and try involving women in all that we do. Try to carry women along and give them a sense of belonging so that they can have the confidence to be themselves and be whatever they want to be. And at least women should put their mind to be what they want to be, and they can achieve it.
Women face so many challenges while pushing for inclusion, and these can be seen as barriers which must be surmounted. Some of these challenges could be attributed to lack of personal aspiration by the women themselves. Others could be due to lack of laid down laws and policies by the government to ensure that certain positions are strictly reserved for women. Eyitoyosi Shonibare, an assistant director of the Risk Management Department of the Central Bank of Nigeria, elaborates.
Barriers to inclusion that we have observed for women are basically for limited access. There's limited access to opportunity and resources, so they don't even give you entrance. That's the proverbial glass ceiling that a single woman should aspire to. Prejudice and discrimination. I'm the first of 7 girls. And it always bugs me when somebody says, ah, are you not just a girl? Because when I was growing up, my mother could not go and borrow boys. So if you know the Lister machine, the one that you turn and turn, they used to wait for me to come back from school to put it on and teach my sisters to do same. So I wonder why there's any prejudice, because what a boy could do at that time. doing it. We also have barriers in form of lack of codified policies. There is no policy that says how many women should be sitting on a board. There is no policy that says there must be at least 30% of seats for the females to sit in. If you can't find a female, don't fill that seat. The last and I think the most fundamental thing we are observing is that there is lack of voluntary female participation. And this occurs when the women themselves do not volunteer themselves. So these are the big differences that we are seeing. And we hope that we see elements of personal development that can aid us to mitigate the chances of continually being excluded.
Dear listener, did you know that lack of access to sufficient funds could lead to symptoms associated with sleeping disorders? Well, that might come off a bit funny, but when one is running low on sufficient funds, such a person might not be able to afford the things needed to stay well and be in mental stability. This could be termed financial insomnia. Hence the need to ensure that women are financially stable in order to cater to their needs and to contribute to society. Olusegun Soyebo is a consultant psychiatrist at the National Hospital, Abuja.
When the pocket is dry, the mood is down. And I think that women need this talk seriously. Women sacrifice a lot in keeping the home, but that is done with the assumption that the man will be around forever. But usually we are not around forever. We can drop dead. And then a woman who has never worked for the past 40 years has to be the breadwinner of the family. Where is she going to start from?
It is imperative to note that in order to ensure a peaceful society, women need to be adequately empowered, and one of such ways is through education. This form of empowerment helps increase the awareness that women are exposed to in terms of knowing their rights, boosting their self-esteem, and providing them the opportunity to affirm their rights both in the rural and urban areas. Judith Giwa-Amu, former education officer of the United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund, UNICEF, throws more light.
For economic and sustainable development, we need peaceful societies. And for us to have peaceful societies, it has been demonstrated that empowering women is a kind of a catalyst to be able to have that. Now, women represent more than 60% of the poorest in Nigeria. And we find out that education still remains pivotal. It remains the role, the instrument to enhance economic and improved sustainable development as well as health prospects. Education provides formal and informal settings. So even the rural woman has opportunity to informal ways of empowerment. And then we have those in the urban settings having formal education opportunities. Education and skills are very important to bridge poverty gaps and support the removal of barriers to gender equality.
Invest in women, accelerate progress. This might mean so many things to different people if given the opportunity to speak. Let's now hear from a cross-section of women as they tell us what that catchphrase means to them.
Quality for everyone,
There is an African saying that when a lizard falls from the tree and no one praises it, it nods its head as a way of praising itself for a job well done. This is really interesting. At this point, it won't be out of place to give honor to whom honor is due. Let's join Lilian Ogogo Musa as she gives kudos to the wives of our gallant soldiers and Nigerian women in general.
Great Nigerian women! Great Naoa women! I celebrate you all.
That's the wonderful celebration of all Nigerian women. And as we wrap up this edition, let's all bear in mind and always remember that our collective effort have the power to bring about the much desired positive change that we all crave for. Spreading awareness, promoting women's rights, and supporting each other are some of the ways through which we can inspire inclusion and accelerate progress. And on that note, we end this edition of the program, Women and Development. Focus was on the importance of investing in women. Do join us again next week for a fresh edition of the program. For all your comments, questions, and observations, write to the producer of Women and Development through our email, EnglishProducers24@gmail.com. And we'll be delighted to hear from you. My producer has been Emilia Ohuabunwa. Christopher Caleb managed the sound.